Hello and a warm welcome to another Grow Together Food and Medicinal Gardens episode. Now in this episode we're going to take a look at various different methods that you can utilise to grow food indoors during the winter months. And we're also going to look at how to tell if the air quality is good in your living environment. Now, I know in the last episode I said that we'd be looking at how to do electroculture at the allotment, but unfortunately the dog and I have been rather in the wars over the past few weeks, and as neither of us have been able to walk, we've kept ourselves busy indoors instead, hence this episode. And incidentally, over the last few weeks, I have learned more than I ever wanted to know about how to deal with burns and deep wounds. So if you would like me to do an episode on how I've managed to treat various ailments and wounds with my natural first aid kit, the three things that I think are absolutely essential to have at home that are completely natural and will treat just about anything, do let me know. Leave me a comment, and if there's enough interest, I will do a video on the first aid kit that I've well and truly put through its paces over the past couple of months. But anyway, on with today's show. So I'm sure everybody is already familiar with growing microgreens and things on the window ledge, so I'm not going to cover those. I'm going to cover some more advanced methods. But wherever you grow food, even if you've just got a large patio window that gets plenty of light, that's a really good start. So we're going to go on to some other methods now.
But before we take a look at the how, let's look at the why you would want to grow your salad crops inside in the first place. Now, I must admit, I really dislike the thought of growing in an artificial environment. So I hate the artificial lights, the fact that you don't have the microbiome and all the beneficial bacteria. So I did have a bit of a battle with myself, but I got over that battle by thinking or asking the question, do I really want to be eating kale, cabbage and Brussels sprouts for the next 5 months? Because I didn't get around to preserving any of my summer harvests. Well, in fact, I ate it all, was why I didn't get around to preserving any. And the answer was no, I don't want to eat that. And anything that you're buying in the supermarkets is going to be grown hydroponically anyway, but also there's a very real danger of shortages because our salad farmers just cannot afford to heat their greenhouses, so a lot of them are quitting. So just availability, not to mention it's a cost saving. You know, I spend about £10 a week on salad and £5 on mushrooms. So no, it's not a huge amount, but it's so much nicer when you're growing your own, even if it is in an artificial environment. I must admit, I haven't been able to tell the difference in taste between the stuff I've grown artificially and the stuff that I grew in the garden. So it turns out there's an awful lot more that you can do to grow food than just on your windowsill or in a sunny room in your house. Thanks to the Garden Like a Viking channel, I've been introduced to the joys of a grow tent. Something I never knew even existed, but these are purpose-built little rooms, and you can get them in all shapes and sizes that will fit whatever space you've got. And inside, they've got highly, highly reflective material so that you can put in some artificial lighting, and that will enable the most amount of reflection, so you get the most from your lights, and therefore it will enable the plants to grow. So I've bought a tiny one that will just about fit in my house, and it doesn't take long at all to build it. They're really, really super simple. And then what I've decided to do is to make a little, so that I really utilize every last little bit of space, is to make a little table bench that I can get multi-story in my grow tent. Now, you can do all sorts of things in the grow tent, from mushrooms to microgreens and small leafy salad crops. So the Garden Like a Viking YouTube channel recommended to start off with the little grow kits. So they've already had the mushroom spawn inoculated into them. And they are super simple. You cut a little hole in the bag, soak it in water for 6 to 8 hours, and then every day you just spray it with a fine mist a few times a day. And they're just amazing, and it's so fascinating seeing this tiny little thing one day and then the next day it's huge. And they are so delicious incredible flavour. So I'm absolutely hooked now. So the next step is to grow them in these large food grade buckets. And if you head on over to Nate's channel, Garden Like a Viking, on YouTube, you will see he'll walk you through everything that you need to do to actually create your own, which is much cheaper than the grow kits. Now, you don't have to go to town and buy a grow tent to grow the mushrooms in. It's just that's the easiest way to do it. And I like easy. So I'm following along with that. So definitely check out that. So as you can see, I haven't got a big space. It's 60 by 60 by 120 centimeters, which is approximately 2 foot by 2 foot by 4 foot. And you heat it with a seed tray warmer. And what's really important is to put in the temperature gauge so you don't cook the roots of your plants. Now, ideally, I would want to put this in the spare room, but unfortunately, my spare room currently has two wardrobes in it. So until I get shot of one of them, it's had to go in my lounge. Barely noticeable behind the pot plant. Well, okay, but anyway, it's temporary. So I've got mine set up at the moment while I'm waiting for the mushroom spawn to arrive. The lettuce and things that really weren't doing well in my polytunnel because there just wasn't enough light, I've popped in here. The mushrooms are loving it. Now I've tried them in here, or I've eaten those, but they were looking good. The important things with a grow tent is getting air circulation. So I've got this tiny rechargeable fan that just blows the humid air around the entire unit. And the humidity is with a little humidifier in the bottom. And back here, there's a 12 watt extractor fan. And that kicks on, that's on a timer, and it kicks in for 15 minutes every 2 hours. Now the reason I've got that is because when this is full of mushrooms, they breathe out carbon dioxide. So you don't want the carbon dioxide levels too high. Now the lighting, I purchased these LED lights, which are 1,000 lumens each, and I've got 4 of them in here. But because they are full spectrum, you've seen the little red dots ones, they're infrared, it's actually heated the entire tent to 21 degrees, which is perfect. There's about 70 Fahrenheit. That is perfect for mushrooms. So I don't think I'm going to need my seed warmer.
So this is going to be my next project, converting the airing cupboard into a grow room. So it's helpful that I've already got the shelving in place, and most of the stuff on this shelving, well, one, I can't actually remember what it is, but a lot of it could go in the loft.
So if I show you the difference between the material in the Vivo Sun grow tent, you can see that diamond reflective, you can see the difference between that and the diamond mylar material that you can buy if you're going to make your own. Now, I can see that the what's in the Vivo Sun is far superior. Even though I bought the best mylar I could, its reflectivity levels are much higher. So Vivo Sun is definitely a good brand to get. But anyway, here's what I've done so far with what was my airing cupboard and a big sheet of mylar. Now, this cost me £25, this little experiment. Now, ideally, to get proper airflow, I should be drilling a blimmin' great hole through the wall and putting in a couple of fans. But as this is just an experiment, and I don't know if it's going to be a permanent fixture yet, I don't really want to be bashing the house about. Now, there's another 10 lights arriving because the biggest issue is getting enough light. Now, each light is 1,000 lumens and it's full spectrum. Now, the other thing that's important, because I don't have an extractor fan, as you can see, I've got a much bigger fan down the bottom to draw the air, because I'm leaving the door open just a crack, and then that fan will suck in the air and then blow it all the way up the rest of the grow room. Now I'm going to be doing microgreens in here. Again, I've got the leftovers from my polytunnel, the very miserable looking cucumbers, but I think that experiment was a complete failure, so they'll probably be have to be composted if they don't perk up soon. But anyway, most of this is charged off the battery pack from my computer, so I can do 8,000 lumens full spectrum lighting from that for a good 8 to 10 hours every day. And it takes me a couple of hours to recharge that battery pack from my solar panel. So that's pretty cost effective way. So the other 6,000 lumens are going to be plugged in. And that will use approximately 60 watts of electricity. So pretty cost effective. But whether it'll be enough, I don't know, because that only brings me up to 14,000 lumens and the sun is 120,000. But as I'm only growing microgreens and leafy salad crops, hopefully I'll get away with it. So along with the wheatgrass and other microgreens, here's what I'm going to be growing. Now the trick with, according to Nate, the Garden Viking, is to grow things that aren't fruiting. So you're eating the infrastructure, as he calls it. So you're eating the leaves. You haven't got to wait for it to grow an entire plant, then do some flowering and then do some fruiting, because that's just not good utilization of the energy requirements that go into it. And also, again, with the lighting to get fruits. But if you are eating the leaves or stems of the things you are growing, then you hit success. So this is what I'm going to be trying. And as I say, for now, it is just a fun experiment because I don't have the perfect setup. So before I bash the house around, I do want to check that I really want to do this. But I must admit, I'm really missing my airing cupboard, having to squish 2 cupboards worth of stuff into 1 cupboard. Let's put it this way. I'm not loving this current setup, but maybe I will once I start to get all these lovely, tasty, fresh greens.
Now, please don't feel that you have to go to the extreme lengths to grow vegetables indoors that I am. You don't. You can do it on a much smaller scale. There's nothing wrong with a nice warm window ledge to grow microgreens. It's a great way of starting. But the advantage with the grow tent or a grow room is that you are in control of everything. And that makes it much easier to grow things successfully and quickly.
But if you really hate the idea of indoor growing, perhaps this will be a good alternative. Some cabbages that I sowed at the end of August. It's far too late in the season for doing it. I'm not honestly expecting to get round cabbages out of those. I will eat them like collard greens. So they're growing away nicely. And then at night, I put these baby polytunnels over the kale that I have sowed. Again, it was far too late in the year, but what the heck, I'd got nothing to lose. I thought I might as well sow them and see what could happen. But because it's been so mild, the carrots have done fabulously well. I really wasn't expecting them to grow like this. And again, this tub also has a lid, so if it gets really cold, I can cover them up at night. So perhaps that's a good compromise. But anyway, while I was doing all the indoor stuff, you might have noticed this little device that I had in the grow tent. Now that's a CO2 monitor. So I spent all this time getting the plants set up. So I thought I really should check the air quality that I'm breathing in. And to my horror, it was over double the amount of carbon dioxide that I was sitting breathing in the house than it was naturally outside. So since then, I have stocked up with rather a lot of houseplants to try and offset it. And I'm pleased to say that I've gone down from 850 parts per million to less than 450. So it's much closer to what you'd be naturally breathing outside. And if you'd like me to do a rundown of the houseplants I've purchased, and I've got ones specifically for air quality, let me know and I can do that in a future video.
So I hope this episode has inspired you to grow something indoors. Even if it is just some microgreens on your window ledge, it's a great place to start. And I will keep you updated in future episodes to see how my little experiments do. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye.